Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to follow along on the sermon outline, you'll need to use the insert, not the one that's printed in the stapled copy. For our encouragement today, we turn to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. On the inserted outline, you'll see there are two different printings of that verse. One is from the 2011, and the other is from 1984. I read the 1984 version. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Words to live by. When it's lived by faith. The Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, the animated sports and military video games. We live in an interesting world of reality and make-believe. Now, hopefully most of the time we can discern between the two. But from watching certain advertisements that play during the football games, I am sure that if alien robots attack the Earth, we have millions of video players that can conquer them. But what about the threats from real enemies? The enemies of sin and Satan and the evil world. How prepared are we? Or our children or grandchildren going to be? Well, blessed we are that we have the Holy Spirit inspiring the writer to the Hebrews in our reading for today's message. For we can be encouraged because we have words to live by. What life is like when you live by faith. First we read, now faith is being sure of what you hope for. Wonderful description of the essence of faith, of trust, of belief in God, and what that means for us. Webster Dictionary would share this kind of thought for faith. Faith being unquestionable belief, complete trust, confidence, or reliance. Now, the Bible uses this word faith in a couple distinctly different ways. First of all, faith being the power and the ability to have that unquestionable belief, that complete trust and confidence in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This, of course, comes because the Holy Spirit has created that kind of faith inside of us. The other use of faith is what is believed, the teachings of the Bible. So the concept here of what's hoped for carries the idea of something that one may not physically have at this particular moment, or at least not have it in its completeness. In the first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews, now you realize we're in chapter 11, the writer lays out the most beautiful plan, compelling case for Jesus Christ being the Savior. And most of those times from the Old Testament pictures. For example, talks about Jesus being made superior to the angels, made like his brothers, greater than Moses. Jesus, the high priest, and gets into the purpose of, and use of blood in their worship practices. Jesus, the sacrifice. See, these teachings are the Christian faith. All of these and more have earned for us what we have by faith. Forgiveness of sins, that assurance that heaven is ours, power to live a new and different life here on this earth. Now, we also have been given the power to say no to Satan and not listen to our sinful nature. Now, it's one thing to be given the power and another thing to use that power so that it benefits us and other people. And it seems that the Christians to whom this letter was written most likely Jewish Christians, because of all the Old Testament pictures that they'd be familiar with, were in danger of giving up on this Jesus. Going back to the old ways, the old Jewish ways, or the ways that have been handed down to them. Many of them, concept of work righteousness. And if you just do these sacrifices, by the doing of them, therefore they benefit us some way spiritually. The doing of the sacrifice is just pointed to the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. So they are in danger of leaving that. So the writer, by the Holy Spirit, makes this compelling case not to do that. See, this hope of Hebrews 11:1 was not some pie in the sky, jump into the dark, ridiculous dream without any tie to reality. This faith, this trust that God has given us Jesus, it's like bringing the future into present reality. How can that be? Well, who gave us these promises? In whom is this hope put in? In the Almighty God, right? Who not only knows everything, can do everything, and always, always keeps every promise. So it's as sure as done. We have that forgiveness. Not a hope of someday. We have that place in heaven. It's there. It's reality. Now keep that reality, the writer to the Hebrews says. You have God's almighty word on that. He goes on to say a similar thing when we have the assurance about what we do not see. Now faith is being certain of what we do not see. Some things we do not see because they do not exist. And just telling our children that they exist does not make them real. And someday they will figure that out on themselves. But we live now in a computerized animation kind of a world in which many of the things that we may see with our eyes and think are real are not. Just the imagination of some gifted computer person. We need to be careful then, right? What we think we see and what we think we believe. Now maybe that makes it easier to conceive what the writer of the Hebrews said, you know, a couple thousand years before the computers were developed. And maybe it makes it harder. Obviously, we have only seen with our physical eyes things that have happened before us. We really don't know what Jesus looked like. Never at the movies show you the pictures that are drawn. We don't know what he sounded like. We weren't at Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus in the manger. We didn't walk with Jesus every day. His buddy when he was little, you know, first and second grader. When he was a teenager, we didn't see him every day in every way do exactly what God wanted and expected him to do, which I guess he also expects us to do, doesn't he? It wasn't our eyes that cried on Mount Calvary. Or our face that was filled with joy because we saw Jesus alive. We could touch him. We haven't seen them with our physical eyes, but there's no doubt that they're true. We've seen them through the eyes of faith, spiritual eyes, if you will, that the Holy Spirit has equipped us with. What wonderful, wonderful news this is. See, now you can be sure of what God tells you in his word because you've seen it. Now you can be sure that Satan every day is going to blur that vision or to make you think it was just some fanciful dream that you had, because that's the way that he works. He wants to undermine this most beautiful trust that we've been given in Jesus Christ. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, we are among those that Jesus talked about. Yeah, he talked about us. When he told his disciples that you believe in him and what he can do because they have actually seen it with their eyes, he said, blessed are they, right, who have not seen, were not there, and still believe. But don't take that for granted. The sad news that one of Jesus' very own disciples, who saw with his physical eyes the miracles, heard with his ears Jesus proclaim who he was and what he was going to do and what that meant for them, he lost that. Right? He lost that vision. He lost that clear eyesight. Be careful, dear Christians. Don't take what you see and what you're certain of for granted. And I guess along with that is, don't be discouraged when the people of this world laugh at you or question how gullible are you. Many of you have or still do work in this world in which the concept of a God who would send his own son to live and die for those of us who aren't perfect, and that's all of us 2,000 years later, or believe things that the Bible says are true but surely aren't scientific in their minds, right? And they hear that you believe those kinds of things. With your education and your background, you still fall for those kinds of things that they tell little kids. Be careful that they don't undermine the confidence that you have, that trust in what God says and you're assured of and you believe in. Why? Because God has told us in his word. Words to live by. What life is like when you live by faith. It's a life that pleases God. Now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And this chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews goes into talking about these ancients, if you will. And one of them is Abraham. Abraham was asked by God to get up, take his family, all his possessions, and head on down the road. Didn't even know where he was supposed to go. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. What would it take for you to leave your family's homeland? To go to a place, maybe a hostile place. See, Abraham, living by faith, trusted in the promises of God, and he went. What is life like when you live by faith? A life that pleases God. He trusted a child would come. And by faith, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promises. And from one man, and he was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sands on the seashore. And one of those descendants is Jesus Christ. Way past childbearing age. All of their attempts to get an heir, doing things that weren't God-pleasing, failed. Yet God preserved their faith, right? Preserved their trust in the true God, in both Abraham and Sarah, and to them a child was born. What would it take for you to trust God that he will continue to provide things that are absolutely essential when it seems all but impossible? What life is like when you're living by faith, a life that pleases God, willing to sacrifice what's most precious. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Asked by God to do the unimaginable. Right? Kill the one through whose line all salvation depended on? Doubts? I assure David that Abraham had doubts, worries, concerns. But what did he do? They headed to the mountain and laid Isaac on that place of altar over the wood, right? And he lifted the knife, right? Abraham trusted God and obeyed. What would it take for you to give up what's most precious in your life? Maybe your children. Life that pleases God. How about us today? Is a life that pleases God today that much different than the life that would please Him in ancient times? Leave what's comfortable. Would you go to a place that you don't know anything about because God was leading you there? Well, I think some of you have, right? All of you aren't, born here in the wonderful state of California. You've come from other places. Okay, maybe you didn't just head out saying, well, I don't know what's going to happen to us family, whether we'll live or die, but we'll just head over the mountain somehow. You probably had a job offered here that you came to. It's a hostile world that you've come to, though, right? It was a hostile world you left. So, it's not like, there are some places that the devil doesn't work and the evil world isn't there. But you trusted God that He would lead you where He wanted you to go, right? And provide for you and your family. And He has, right? And He will continue to do that. What would it take for you to do what Abraham did? The same kind of faith that God gave Abraham, He's given you and He's given me. A life that pleases God. Trust in the ultimate child that came. That's Jesus Christ. Do we really trust Him? Oh, we say the words and we sing the hymns, and we have our children go to a school, many of us, right, where they learn those kinds of things. But do we really trust Him? Do we trust Him with our children, no matter where the Lord would lead them? We don't know where that was. Maybe you have in mind. Maybe you have a dream that your child should go here, there, or some other place. What if God's plan for your child is to study for the ministry, to be a teacher or a pastor? How supportive are you of that? Probably means you have to send them away to school. Maybe high school. Maybe we can do that here. But for sure to college, right? And when they successfully, with the Lord's help, finish that, where are they going to end up? Probably not in San Jose, California, or the areas around here. They may go overseas, be sent as missionaries. How often are you going to see them on a regular basis? What are you willing to give up for the Lord? What's most precious to you? What's God willing to give up for you and me? What's precious to Him, right? He gave up His one and only Son so that we could have a Savior to believe in, and our children could sing about that God, and El Shaddai, that powerful, mighty God. That wasn't an easy task. And if you will, God killed Jesus. Right? Oh, okay. So it was your sins and my sins, but he allowed that to happen. That was the plan. The plan wasn't to stop just before the nails were pounded into his hands. No, the plan was for him to suffer there and to die physically and spiritually and die an eternal death for the punishment that fell for you and for me. See, he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, right? So that we could have the ultimate gift of a place with him in heaven forever, with sins forgiven. So you could know that now, not someday after, this world is passing. Oh, boy, I guess this is pretty good. I guess we don't have to suffer. No, you know that now. You have that gift now, every day of your life. That's the gift. God allows us to live a God-pleasing life, grabbing onto those promises, believing those promises, and sharing them with people that don't have a clue yet, don't have that kind of hope, don't have that kind of eyesight. What are you willing to give up for the Lord? Some of you give up a lot. Because I see you specifically here, and you give up for the Lord other places. I see the time you put in here and the effort you put in here. I can read in the back of the bulletin the offerings that you bring every week to support the work of the Lord here. God wants all of you, your heart and your soul, for time and for eternity. That's what faith is all about. That's what life is like when you live by faith. Thank God for that faith. Now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for, and may it be what we're commended for also. Amen.